treat, baby, on a night like this. Trick or treat, whoa, whoa, and that means a kiss.
Chuck Berry's just fantastic. Like, it's, you forget some of the great songs that he did, but he gets to resurface every once in a while. We play a good song from him like that one, obviously, for Halloween. Happy Halloween to you. Hope you have a good time tonight with the kiddos running around. Or, you know, if you're doing it with the adults and you do trick or beer, not saying you should, but some people do. 640 here on News Radio 92.3. Joining me now, we have the senior advisor to Governor DeSantis, David Dewhurst. David, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Andrew.
Absolutely. For anybody who hasn't been tracking this, just to give you a brief history on this show anyway, the governor came to town on Friday to talk at the sheriff's office about his opposition to Amendment 3, the marijuana amendment. Then we had Secretary Ricky Dixon of Corrections on Tuesday to talk about why he thinks it's a bad idea. Then I got a call from the True Leave people, and I said, can we come on? And Kim Rivers, the CEO, we had her on yesterday, and she gave all of her reasons in support of Amendment 3. And then the governor's office reached out and said, you know, we'd like a chance to talk. I said, absolutely. You guys are always welcome. We're going to have Governor DeSantis on the show Monday at 7:10. But right now we have, again, David Dewhurst, senior advisor to Governor DeSantis, on to talk about Amendments 3 and 4. Now, David, I'm going to kind of start with this. You, I know, at least heard a little bit of some of the arguments that Kim Rivers made yesterday and are familiar with some of them as well. I'm just going to kind of open it. Is there a portion of what she said that you primarily wanted to respond to, or is there a portion of it that you think is misinformation?
I think most of what she said was misinformation. I think when voters are thinking about Amendment 3, they just have to remember where this thing came from. You now have one corporation that has spent about $140 million to both write Amendment 3, to collect the signatures, to get Amendment 3 on the ballot, and now to run a full-fledged campaign throughout the state of Florida in order to deceive voters into voting for Amendment 3. One company, and it just so happens to be Ms. Rivers' company, who's doing that. One thing that she mentioned when she was talking to you is that, you know, True Leave intends for this amendment to be a market expander, that this is actually somehow going to expand the market of companies that can compete and sell marijuana products to the folks here in Florida. But that's simply not true, and that's not the way that they wrote the amendment. And I think everybody just intuitively understands that can't be true. You know, if this is basically the pet project for one corporation, they're not going to write this thing in a way that doesn't give them a unique advantage. I mean, they have obligations to their own shareholders. The governor's been making this point around the state of Florida. They can't go around just doing things for the good of the order generally. They actually have an obligation to their own shareholders to maximize value. And that's exactly what Amendment 3 does for Trulieve and for a very small group of select companies. It creates a monopoly. This is not about personal freedom. As you know, anybody who's read this amendment, you can't grow it at home. You have to buy it from them. And so I suppose that would be the one thing, Andrew, that I'd want to respond to immediately, this idea that this is somehow a market expander. That's just simply not the case.
You know, one of the what she in part said about that was she said, look, the amendment contains language that would allow the legislature to approve additional licenses if they wanted to. And so it's really the state that's standing in the way of having this broader access. So if the amendment passed, it's not just truly even the currently existing license holders that could dispense the marijuana, but it would be anybody the state authorizes, that it would create the opportunity for market expansion. You don't read it that way?
No, I don't. I think if we actually want a regulated market, you know, the state takes a lot of care and concern in granting any of the licenses that we currently provide in the medical market. But that brings up another good point, Andrew, which is that we do currently have a safe and regulated marijuana market. You know, we have something like 600 medical marijuana stores throughout Florida. We have over 1 million medical marijuana card holders. The fact is, people who want or need marijuana now, adults who want and need it now, can get it. And so this idea that Amendment 3 somehow creates a safe and regulated market is laughable. We already have that market now. And the fact is, what this amendment will do is what we've seen happen in other states that have legalized recreational marijuana for adults. Whenever you create a market like this, it's going to expand black market opportunities as well. Because, again, you're going to have a select number of companies that are selling these products. Whenever you do that, the prices inevitably go up, and consumers begin looking elsewhere for these other products. And whenever those black market opportunities increase in different states, you see the dangerous products that begin to propagate, that keep people in, you know, put people in dangerous positions, and you begin to see crime increase generally. That is exactly what we're going to have here if Amendment 3 passes. Don't think that this expanded market is suddenly going to make everything clean, safe, and healthy. It's not. It's actually going to increase illicit activities, just like it's done in Colorado, California, and all these other states that have gone this direction in recent years.
We're talking to David Dewhurst. He's a senior advisor to Governor DeSantis about Amendment 3. David, hang out for me for just a second. Bobby Rossi has got traffic on the fives. Bobby?
This traffic update is brought to you by Norton 360. Right now, we just have a few little slowdowns over on North Palafox and actually South Palafox. But actually, things are still flowing pretty well right now, so you're pretty good on the roads. Outsmart cyber criminals this Cybersecurity Awareness Month with Norton 360. Keep your software updated with Norton Software Updater feature. Get up to 58% off at norton.com/secure. Andrew?
All right. Thanks so much, Bobby. Back to David Dewhurst, the senior policy advisor for Governor DeSantis, talking about Amendment 3 and the interview we did yesterday with Kim Rivers of Trulieve. David, her argument, which you kind of brought up on the home grow, was that, A, they believe that because they had tried to include home grow in the past, that it became a two subject and was struck down. They weren't able to put it on the ballot. That's why they didn't include home grow. Although I take to heart very seriously your argument that why would they want to expand for home grow if they're trying to capitalize on their market position, which is what they have the fiduciary duty to do. But she also says that once this goes into place, the legislature could approve home grow. And she's already got legislators who are willing to bring that up, a Republican and a Democrat. Is that, you don't think that's likely, or is there a flaw in that argument?
Yeah, I do. I think once you actually read the language and you understand basic civics, which is pretty concerning when you talk about this Republican and Democrat that apparently Trulieve has engaged to be spokespeople for this amendment, you know, it's troubling because a basic understanding of civics, a basic reading of this language, which would be placed in our Constitution, it does tie the hands of the legislature in a number of different ways. The legislature is not just free to act after this thing is passed, and this thing was written in order to disallow the legislature to act in a number of ways. You know, there's several different pieces of this. It obviously does not allow home grow. So this is not about, enhancing personal freedom in the state of Florida. This is not about, you know, being able to do something in the privacy of your own home. But even beyond that, you know, ways that this is written differently from the medical marijuana initiative several years ago, you know, this doesn't have any time, place, or manner restrictions on it. And so the legislature's hands may be tied even in preventing people from smoking marijuana in public places. And we mean all public places, parks and playgrounds, restaurants, hotels, condos. I mean, if you have ever stayed in a hotel and somebody down the hall is smoked pot, you know that that basically ruins the entire experience. You can't escape it. Your entire room reeks of it. Well, Amendment 3 is written in such a way to protect the public use and to limit government's ability to actually restrict the public use of marijuana. It's pretty shocking if you think about it. But think about all the places that you take your family and you take your kids. There's going to be pot smoking everywhere, and that's something that families are going to have to just adjust to as a new reality. But of course, when you do that and you start exposing kids to more and more marijuana, what we've seen in other states is pretty devastating. Marijuana use among children and adolescents, it goes way up. And when you do that, you see all sorts of secondary harms. You see the developmental harms. You see mental disorders on the rise. You see even suicidality on the rise among teens who use marijuana. It's also obviously a gateway drug for them, and it hurts their cognitive abilities in a number of different ways. It's dangerous, and we've seen this in lots of other states. We've had doctors, you know, hundreds of doctors reach out to us from other states that already have to live this reality, and they've said, do not do what we did in California. Do not do what we did in Colorado, because it is incredibly dangerous for kids. Your kids will be worse off for this. Whenever you make marijuana more prevalent everywhere, then kids are going to get their hands on it. And not just teenagers and adolescents. We're talking about small kids because, as you know, this weed is packaged into gummies and different types of candy-like products that are meant to market to children. And so they are going to get their hands on it. It's going to be incredibly dangerous for them. And that's the new reality that we will be living in if Amendment 3 becomes part of our Constitution.
And I know she had said things about how they do not market in a way that can be confused for the child. And she even referenced a study where she claimed that use among teens had gone down since decriminalization. But I wanted to go back to sort of the beginning part of what you said, because I think this is an important thing that people don't understand. The smoking ban, I've had several people text me already this morning and say, smoking in public is already banned. No, tobacco smoking in public is already banned. If you read the state statute, it is very clear that the smoking covered by the state ban is only tobacco, and it would not cover marijuana if marijuana were decriminalized. And when you combine that with the language of the amendment, you know, the argument has been that the legislature could come in and add marijuana to the list, but you're saying that based on your read, that would be tricky and maybe not legal. Is that right?
That's right. I mean, cigarette smoking is not a constitutional right in the state of Florida, but if Amendment 3 passes, smoking pot would be a constitutional right. Right. It would enjoy an entire different class of protection. And if you read the simple language, the provisions of Amendment 3, it becomes abundantly clear that the government's hands are tied when it comes to regulating the use of marijuana. There are no time, place, and manner restrictions like there are, for instance, as it applies to medical marijuana, where people have to smoke it or use it in their own homes. I mean, that market, that reality, that legal framework exists now. But what we're talking about with Amendment 3 is allowing anyone and everyone to smoke pot in public places, which would ruin the state of Florida. And I, for one, and I know the governor believes this too, like, we need to keep Florida, Florida. We don't need to bring all of these negative elements from places like California and New York, Illinois. We don't need to bring these things to the state of Florida. This is a refuge for the rest of the country when it comes to enjoying your freedom, enjoying being with your family and being in safe and protected places. We don't want to ruin that with the smell of weed everywhere.
And that's actually, see, I think the strongest argument where the governor is on his strongest case is the issue of in the Constitution, because if it were mere, decriminalization, if it were a simple policy proposal that was a line or two, even the abortion amendment 4, there's a lot of dispute about what it implies, but at least it's simply written. You know, this is a very complicated, long amendment with a lot of particulars that, as you said, once you put it in the Constitution with that language, you can't just tinker with it. Which is why, in my opinion, this is an issue to be solved by the legislature, because they can propose a law and then you can amend it and then you can amend it and then you can have a lot of public conversation. In this case, there's no public conversation around how to change it. There's just vote yes or vote no. And once you put it in the Constitution, you know, that's it. You're done. Unless you can manage to come back later and get them to pass it again at 60%, right? I mean, that's the real issue here, is not the policy debate over whether this is good policy. It's a question of whether this is good constitutional policy, right?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. A no vote is for now. A yes vote on a constitutional amendment is forever. I think one time in Florida's history has a constitutional addition actually then subsequently been removed by the people of Florida. And so tying our hands forever and marrying ourselves forever to this type of policy as a matter of constitutional law, I think every Floridian should beware being sort of walked down that garden path when you realize that this is not being produced organically by their fellow citizens. This is being concocted by one company who has spent $140 million to give themselves a monopoly, to ban home grow, and to give themselves legal immunity when and if their products make people sick. I think when Floridians realize that, they don't want to be used. They don't want to just be used by these giant mega corporations. We're not going to be agents in that sort of process. And so I think Floridians all around the state are waking up to this, and they're realizing that, this isn't just about the freedom to smoke marijuana. This is actually just making one company much, much richer.
Yeah, Trulieve is a Florida company, but this amendment is not homegrown, so to speak, in that regard, in terms of broad public consensus for this particular mechanism, even though there is, I think, a lot of support for some kind of decriminalization. But that's just not on the ballot. That alone is not on the ballot. David Dewhurst, he's a senior advisor to Governor DeSantis. David, thank you so much for the time this morning. I appreciate it, sir, and we'll talk to you soon, and look forward to talking to the governor on Monday.
Thank you so much. Vote no on Amendments 3 and 4. We appreciate everybody out there. Thank you.